my personality to be jittery.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.
Wrestling fans, are you ready? It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Alrighty, wrestling fans, thanks so much for tuning in. This is episode 24 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and as always, I want to remind you that you can listen to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and all the other podcasts here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, either on Stitcher, on iTunes, or, of course, right here at jitterymonkey.com. And supporting the show, quite easy as well. There is a banner to take you to either the Amazon page, which you click on that and do your regular Amazon shopping, or if you're interested in the DraftKings and getting some more information and learning more about fantasy baseball, for example, it's really hot right now, you can click on that link as well. Or I have it available too at my123cents.com, where you will also find the blog. Today's show is one that I'm bringing Chad in with the discussion on, and it is Global Force Wrestling. We're going to be talking all about that. Earlier in the week, Jeff Jarrett made some pretty big announcements about the future of the company after more than a year of anticipation. We're finally getting some dates and some names of who are going to be associated with this company. So we are going to kind of pick that apart in a constructive criticism type of way. Right, Chad?
Oh, yeah. And I want to say real quick, going back to your DraftKings sponsorship, I believe wrestling fans can go on DraftKings, and there is a wrestling fantasy league that you can win tickets to SummerSlam.
Oh, cool. I hadn't been on there in a couple of days. I didn't know they'd updated. I know they've got MMA on there as well, so that's good to know about the WWE stuff. So check that out.
So I'm here for to educate.
Well, we appreciate it, and we're going to talk, as we mentioned, I guess it's been about a week or so now by the time this podcast drops, that Jeff Jarrett and Karen Jarrett held a press conference in Las Vegas to announce that Global Force Wrestling has their first line of talent being released. And I guess let's talk a little bit about some of the names, and we'll go through.
Before we get into that, let's talk about the press conference itself, because that's going to be my biggest form of criticism. Let me get all the negative out of the way first.
Okay.
It's 2015. You're holding a press conference for a new wrestling promotion, and you have no live stream. You have no Twitter presence. You have nothing online about said press conference. Why? How? This is very, very Bush League move. I couldn't believe. You know, I know Jeff had tweeted out on Tuesday about the press conference promoting it, and on Wednesday I was excited to follow along, and I thought, okay, even if they didn't do a live stream, which, you know, with the advent now in the recent weeks of Periscope and Meerkat, it seems as long as you have a iPhone, you can have a streaming press conference. But I was like, okay, I'll just go to the GFW Twitter handle, and that will give me updates. Silence on their front. I cannot believe how inept this press conference came off.
So, okay, let me ask you this, because I was transitioning from work to home, so I wasn't able to follow anything on social media. So how, because you were texting me some of the names that were being announced, how were you doing that?
From what I can gather is there were actually people in Vegas. The press conference was open to the public.
Uh-huh.
In Las Vegas, and so I guess people were there, and they were putting out video. They had, you know, video screen. When they would announce a person, they would throw the person's photo up, and people were either Instagramming or tweeting from that press conference and using the hashtag GFW Vegas.
Gotcha.
And I would find that and then tweet, but there was a lot of tweets also coming out that weren't actually relegated to the actual press conference. Like, I think I tweeted you and said, oh, Lacey Von Erich is apparently involved with this project. I don't know if that's true or not, but...
Yeah, where did you get that from? Because she's not on the website.
Yeah, from Twitter.
Okay.
One of the first announcements, and so... Since there was no other news coming in, you know, like some of the names were obviously jokes or just speculation because they were names like associated with the Memphis wrestling scene that from like the late 80s, early 90s that most likely are not going to be involved in this product, so you can discredit those. But, you know, a name like Lacey Von Erich that hasn't been around for a few years, you think, okay, that maybe that is possible. Maybe whatever venture she left TNA to go do didn't work out, and so now this new promotion's coming around and she wants to be involved. But yeah, it was trying to decipher the actual content from speculation got a bit challenging at times.
Well, and that, you know, I learned about the whole press conference. I mean, I guess there had been a little bit of buzz on social media. I do follow Jeff Jarrett and Global Force Wrestling on Twitter. But actually, ironically enough, I have a friend from high school, which was a long time ago, who I'm friends with on Facebook, and he sent me a message the other day saying, hey, he works for a PR company in Vegas, and said, I've got something that you might be interested in, and I had no idea what he was talking about. And he said, what's your email address? And so I gave him my email address, and later that night I got an email from his company. It wasn't from him, but it was one of his colleagues, the press release announcing that they were going to be doing this. And so I immediately responded with, you know, would it be possible to get Jeff Jarrett on the podcast? And is this going to be streaming somewhere live that I can share the link and follow along as well? And they said, well, we will work and see if we can get Jarrett for you on your show. Which I'm going to go ahead and break this now. Jeff Jarrett will be on episode 25 of My 1-2-3 Cents.
Oh, wow.
So I will, yeah, I'm breaking that to you as well.
Yeah,
I haven't told anybody this, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I'm not, the window is very small. It's about a 10-minute window, but I am going to ask him about some of these social media type things and just kind of pick his brain about what's going on with the development of this company, and especially in 2015, obviously when he started TNA in 2001 or two, things have changed a lot in the way wrestling fans absorb and get their information and follow along. So I do agree with you, Chad, that this should have been streamed live, whether it was through Periscope or Meerkat, which, by the way, I do use both of those apps, so if you do as well, check it out sometime. I do some wrestling talks. But also, even a more simplistic way of doing it would have been to have somebody sitting there tweeting out pictures and tweeting it. So then you separate the fact from the fiction, and you don't have all this speculation and buzz and maybe even criticism going on various forms of social media.
Yeah, and I mean, they have an official Twitter account, so it's not like they haven't even got that far. But to have complete silence, I think for the entire press conference and a few hours afterwards, I haven't checked it lately, so I don't know what they've tweeted since then, but just that entire time that the press got, they should have had constant updates, in my opinion, because you want to get word out about your product.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a good friend of mine here in Southern Illinois that helps me out with, you know, different aspects of social media, and really, you know, it's the wave of the, I want to say it's the wave of the future, but it's the wave of the present.
Yeah.
And I do know I'm on their page right now, and we're recording this on Saturday afternoon. Jarrett was at a ball game in Kentucky. Looks like one of the minor league or frontier league type games that TNA did a few years ago with the whole baseball concept that you were in town for, Chad. But looks like he was at an event for that and has some pictures. But other than that, they've posted one other announcement of, you know, they're showing the little pictures of the talent that they've got signed. So the Twitter feed has been a little silent, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you chalk that up to, because you look at company like WWE that has that Twitter presence, that my feed is blown up from WWE or NXT or even the superstars kind of tweeting and retweeting stuff. So I do think that they need to work on just from this standpoint before they even start taping in July, their social media presence.
Yeah, well, I'll even go, I'll take it more into association with a company more the size of Global Force, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla out here in Reseda. I believe their website has not been updated, at least last I checked about a week or so ago, hadn't been updated since two shows ago. And someone on their message board was saying, well, why don't you update it? And they're like, no, go to our Twitter feed. That's where you get all the information about upcoming shows, matches, lineups, ticket sales. Like, they're a small promotion that I believe is ran by two or three people, and they do everything through Twitter. So a company like Global Force, which I'm going to guess is probably a little bit bigger, given all of their international connections, and the fact that, you know, they're probably going to be a bigger presence in the wrestling community, surely they had one intern even who could sit there and run a Twitter handle. So anyway, I think we've covered their lack of social media. Hopefully it gets better going forward, but that one,
it's going to be a delicate balance too, because yeah, you don't want it to be, at least the social media presence needs to be ramped up, obviously, but yeah, then the promotion of it on your on-air product, you know, you don't want to get to the extreme that WWE sometimes gets to, where they are distracted from calling a match and focus yeah, more on talking about what is trending. And I guess it's easier to talk about those trending topics when you're a live product and yeah, so much
when you're the biggest company and you actually are trending. But and I also want to compare it to TNA, where TNA makes a lot of, you know, like huge announcements or big surprises that they tease out through Twitter and through social media. And I don't think Global Force should do that. I think they should just keep it very basic and say, you know, press conference on Wednesday, follow our Twitter feed, we'll have live updates.
Yeah, and according to the press release that is on their website, which is globalforcewrestling.com, they're going to be doing TV tapings in Las Vegas on Friday, July 24th. August 21st and October 23rd. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon, and you can go to their website or to OrleansArena.com to learn more about that. But the interesting thing to me is, through all of this, as I'm looking at this press release, and Chad, maybe you know something different, we're talking about TV tapings, but we don't have a TV network, a program, a schedule, anything like that.
Well, and that, you know, I expected that to come out at the first press conference. Mm-hmm. That would make sense. But it could also be something that possibly comes out this week. This week is, and I say this week, this show drops on Monday. And so I believe the 11th through the 15th is the upfront week for television networks, where they announce their fall schedules.
Okay.
So maybe it's something where they're holding off until a network officially announces them.
Gotcha.
I don't know. That's pure speculation, but I would think if you already have three TV taping lines up, then common sense would dictate that you have a reason for those tapings.
Sure. Let me ask you this, and let's play the speculation game a little bit more. Does Global Force Wrestling need to be on a... I personally miss the days when wrestling was on regular TV and we could watch it whenever we wanted, not whenever we wanted, but like watch it not without having cable or without having, we would watch it on the local independent station, for example. The local channels. Does it need to be on, or can it survive on something like ABC, CBS, Fox, or does it need to be on a, you see TNA ended up on Destination America, which I don't receive where I live on my satellite provider. So what do you think is the best formula for a company like Global Force right now?
Well, I think if you went with an affiliate, then you're probably looking at syndication. Kind of like what Ring of Honor does now with their, although I don't know how Ring of Honor does it, given that they're owned by the company who owns the stations they're on. So I don't know what type of money transactions there are. I think for a global... as her name says, global, but as a company spreading out across the entire United States, I don't think syndication is probably a viable option to buy time in all the different cities that you would have to run on. So I think unless you get one of those companies behind you who's actually going to pay you, I don't see syndication being a wise, unless they're going to be very territorial.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the old days, when we first started, you know, you had wrestling at the Chase in the St. Louis area. Bill Watts had the Oklahoma, New Orleans, Texas area, Florida championships in Florida. So you had more regional aspects. And I don't see that happening with Global Force, just because, one, they're called Global, and two, they have a lot of affiliations with New Japan, AAA, I believe promotions in Australia, Europe, and all this. So I think if they're going to be on a network or on a station, it's going to probably be a cable station, and I would probably almost want to speculate that it will be a lesser known station.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I don't see a lot of known stations jumping at wrestling.
Yeah, I agree. And do you think that for me, where I live, right now I get Ring of Honor, which is on the Sinclair station, as you mentioned, which is a Fox affiliate here. I get, of course, the WWE programming on USA and on Sci-Fi.
And which Sci-Fi will be moving to USA, I believe, starting next year.
Yes, SmackDown is moving. So I get those two. I do not get Destination America, so I don't watch TNA anymore. I watch it online when I can. And then Lucha Underground, which is on El Rey Network, I don't get that either. But I discovered about 3 weeks ago that I get now, and I can't even remember what channel it's on, but it's New Japan.
Oh, Access.
Access, yes.
Access, yeah.
And I've been recording, and I watched the first episode that I recorded, but it was an older episode from maybe a year or two ago, so I'm not even sure what it's about.
I think that's how New Japan does it. They just do a collection of matches.
Okay.
No, it's not like your typical wrestling show.
Okay. Maybe like the old primetime wrestling when...
Yeah.
Okay. You were in different... Okay, that makes sense then, because when I don't know how long it had been on before that. I just happened to be scrolling through one night and saw it was on and hit the record button. So there are some different outlets out there for wrestling fans, but do you think with Global Force now coming into the picture here, that was, what, four companies that I named, not to mention Chikara, which is more of a DVD, video on demand... promotion.
AIW, AAW. Yeah, there's several promotions that are easily obtainable these days.
So do you think, I mean, is there room in the marketplace, so to speak, for another wrestling company? Because I think we both agree, realistically, there is not going to be a new number one, at least anytime soon.
No. I think there is. I think what they would need to do to really separate themselves is make sure their roster is completely different than all the other promotions. Which, if you're doing television tapings, I believe a lot of the promotions have guys signed to exclusive contracts for television or pay-per-view purposes. So I can't see any of the Lucha Underground or ROH guys showing up on Global Force television,
mm-hmm.
which is an interesting point that I'll make when we start discussing the roster.
Yeah, we'll get to the roster here in a minute.
So I think there's room for the company, but it's going to have to be, as we've seen with just in the last year. They're going to have to differentiate themselves. TNA, you know, has been around for 12 years now, and they're still not really respected because they never formed their own identity. I think that's part of Billy Corgan's plan now. We'll see how that works. But one of the things about Lucha Underground, for example, which I just started watching about 2 months ago, they have a completely different look. They have their own roster that is unique to them, and their presentation separates them from everything else that's out there.
I've only seen a little bit of Lucha Underground, but I did like what I saw, and you're right with the having its own identity. And you know, TNA for so long has struggled as being, and I say struggle, but I feel like they kind of put themselves in that position of being WWE light or WWE junior. And I think that that needs to be something that Jeff Jarrett is very aware of, that he doesn't fall into that same trap. I was listening to Shane Douglas on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast, and this is his recount with Dixie Carter, which I have not listened to the Dixie Carter podcast yet, but he said that he and Dixie were talking one time about the copying WWE, and Shane had mentioned something about ECW, and Dixie's response was, "Why would we copy ECW? They failed." So, I mean, according to him at least, you know, there's obviously a mentality that to be the best, you have to copy the best, which, as we've seen for the last 12 years, doesn't seem to work out.
No, and if Dixie, and this is going to be my cheap shot at Dixie, who I would love to get her on this podcast and actually ask her some wrestling trivia, see if her knowledge goes beyond the Von Erichs in Texas. ECW failed because of money.
Yeah.
ECW didn't fail because it wasn't good. When you have McMahon, WWE has succeeded by making money that ECW didn't have access to, if that made any sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just because you succeed, or just because you're the number one brand, doesn't mean you're good.
Right.
Look at any of the top 10 lists from Hollywood's biggest films over the last 3 years. Quality does not equal cash.
Very good point. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about the roster. Now, GFW's website says that they have alliances with 13 promotions on 5 continents, including, as we mentioned, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Mexico's AAA, and more top independent organizations in Europe, Australia, and Africa. So I would like to believe that there are going to be names that end up coming through GFW, which we don't know, that we don't recognize, which I think, quite honestly, is a good thing. You have an opportunity to introduce some new talent, and as we've been talking about this whole time, build your own brand. Some of the names, though, that have been mentioned that have signed on with Global Force are recognizable names, which I also think is a good thing, because I don't think you can completely start a new wrestling company, at least in this company, I'm sorry, in this country, and in this day and age, without having at least some people who wrestling fans recognize or can associate with or identify with. And to me, probably the biggest name, at least in my opinion, the one that I'm kind of excited to see on this roster, is Davey Boy Smith Jr., who wrestled as Harry Smith in WWE, was tag team champions with Tyson Kidd as the Hart Dynasty, along with Natalya. This was probably, 5 years ago or so? And they feuded briefly with the Usos. I really thought Davey Boy Smith Jr. kind of got the shaft when he was released, and I don't know all the circumstances behind it, but I was a fan of his. I was a fan of the British Bulldogs originally back in the 80s, and of course Davey Boy Smith up until his untimely death a decade or so ago. So I do think, and I don't know that Davey Boy Smith Jr. is going to be the guy to carry the company, but I do think that he's a somewhat recognizable name, at least, and has had a lot of success in Japan.
Yeah, and I'll take that run with it for a little bit. I agree with you. When I initially heard the roster announcements, my biggest complaint—if I would—if we would have done this podcast right after the announcement, I probably would have had a lot of stuff that I would have had to backtrack later. The names that they announced are not huge names. And so I think, unfortunately, in the wrestling community or general fan perception, I don't think you're going to get a lot of names that are going to necessarily draw attention. But I think there's the talent that they have is good enough that if GFW utilizes them properly, you can see new stars being made. And I think that's kind of the difference between TNA and Global Force right now, is TNA snatched up all the guys who used to be big stars in WWE, whereas Global Force is grabbing guys who were mid-carders, who never really got a chance, and hopefully the audience will allow them the opportunity to show what they can really do. And hopefully Global Force will allow them to show what they can do. It kind of takes me back when I was preparing for this podcast. I remembered a story from when IWA came to Southern Illinois when they made their debut. 10 years ago now, was it?
Yeah, it was ten. It was April 1st, 2005 was their first show here.
Right. So for those that don't know, and it's probably many of you, IWA came to Southern Illinois, made their debut. Kevin got to ring announce. We had they brought in Billy Gunn for a show, but also on the show, I believe, was Jerry Lynn. And Jerry Lynn had been ECW champion. ECW had gone out of business. He went to, he went to WWE, kind of floundered, didn't do much, went to TNA and was TNA champion and tag team champion. So he came in with IWA, and I was talking to a friend of mine who was a WWE fan, and I said, you know, you need to come to the show. Jerry Lynn's going to be on it. And his response was, why should I care about Jerry Lynn? He didn't do anything in WWE. And I think hopefully that perception is not something that general fans will look at the Global Force Wrestling roster and have the same reaction.
That's a very interesting point to bring up, because as we said, these are former, some of them are former WWE guys and former TNA guys who either didn't get an opportunity or, you know, whatever the circumstances may be, but you don't have a Kurt Angle type or you don't have a Rob Van Dam type of guy who was the world champion in WWE and is signed with TNA or with Global Force. But I think that's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing as well, because it allows guys to stake their own identity and for Global Force to stake its own identity. It's not, and I'm going to keep making TNA comparisons, but I think it's fair given Jeff Jarrett's history with both companies.
Sure.
You look at TNA right now, Kurt Angle is the world champion. I'm sorry, in my opinion, in 2015, Kurt Angle should not be world champion. He is still a good wrestler and much better than I would ever be, but it's time for that next generation. You have to move on, as WWE has kind of done with, you know, the elevation of Seth Rollins. You have to move on, and from what internet reports have said, Kurt Angle being champion was a decision made by Destination America, because they wanted a name brand that they could market the show around. But Global Force has that opportunity to make the next generation of stars.
Yeah.
And I think bringing guys in who fans have a knowledge of but don't have really any probably preconceived opinions of is a good thing. And because you can look at Lucha Underground. One of their biggest stars is Johnny Mundo, who was Johnny Nitro.
John Morrison.
John Morrison, yes. But he, you know, he's kind of elevated his game in Lucha Underground and gotten more fans behind him than probably he had in WWE.
Yeah. And, you know, a couple of the other names that are recognizable to me, at least, Lance Hoyt, who wrestled a lot with TNA, but then he went to WWE for a while too and had a different name, and I don't remember what it was.
Vance Archer.
Vance Archer. He didn't do much, though, I don't think. He was on ECW, maybe?
Yes, I believe so.
So he'll be joining, and I guess he and Davey Boy are a pretty successful tag team in Japan. I don't know if they'll continue that team in Global Force or not.
Well, I think I'm going to say yes. Out of speculation again. Because I want to say, no, I'm going to be wrong. I have to look this up. I believe Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, two more team names that we'll get to, are members of the Bullet Club.
Yes.
And I think Davey Boy and Lance Hoyt had a different tag team that was separate from them.
Yeah, they're the Killer Elite Squad.
I would think, given the association with New Japan, that the characters will kind of be the same.
Okay, that makes sense.
It would make sense that if you're going to be cross promoting with the company, you're not going to change who people are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And that makes sense. And you mentioned the other team of Machine Gun, Carl Anderson, and Doc Gallows, who was Luke Gallows or Festus, right? Yeah. He was Festus too, wasn't he?
That is correct.
In WWE.
And then he went to TNA and was Doc in the Aces and Eights storyline.
Yes, and he wasn't with TNA for very long, I don't think.
About a year or so, but okay. He didn't really do anything. The Aces and Eights were mainly just, if it was Bully Ray, they went over. If there was anybody other than Bully Ray, they were there to be beat up and jobbed out.
Gotcha. So those two, are, like we mentioned, are a tag team as well, and will be a part of it. Also, we know him as Chris Masters, the Masterpiece, but he is Chris the Adonis Mordetsky, who has been around for a while. I guess we saw him in WWE that first time about 10, 12 years ago. He was at WrestleMania 22, when the first one that we went to, teamed with Carlito. I don't know that he had a whole lot of... I don't think he ever won any singles championships. I don't even know that he was a tag team champion. Do you remember if he held any gold in the WWE?
My knowledge of champions over the last decade is really bad.
Yeah, it gets hot potatoed a lot. So
yeah,
but I think this is something that he can have a fresh start with, I guess.
Yeah, and I think he's been doing the independent scene for a while and has seemed to be improving his game. And yeah, he's another one that I think if given the right shot, could be a really decent persona for a company.
PJ Black, who I felt like was under the radar a lot during his stint in WWE as Justin Gabriel, was a part of that original Nexus group who ran roughshod there briefly and then I think joined Wade Barrett in the core. I thought that he and Tyson Kidd made a pretty good tag team. Of course, Gabriel is a great high flyer. I think he'll add a little bit of credibility to the talent roster with Global Force.
Yeah, I think he is one that is probably going to be overlooked on the indie scene because his name is so different from his WWE name.
Mm-hmm.
PJ Black, you're not immediately thinking Justin Gabriel. But, I mean, he had... During his last 6 months in WWE, he was having good matches down in NXT with, I believe, Tyson Kidd and I want to say Sami Zayn. And like you said, he never really got the chance to show, I think, his true potential in WWE. So, again, if Global Force takes off the restrictions and lets guys go all out, he's another solid name that probably will surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, and then this name I'm going to butcher, as I typically do with names I'm not familiar with, but he's a former NFL guy.
Sling Moose.
Okay, yeah, Moose.
Because that's what he goes by in Ring of Honor, I believe.
Okay, so does he have, like, I've seen the name before, but I'm trying to put the two together. So does he have a history of wrestling then?
I mean, he's been in Ring of Honor for, I don't know how long, I would say at least probably a year.
Okay.
I have not seen him in action. But he's the one, I believe, going back to my comment earlier in the show about unique lineups and guys having contracts that prevent them from appearing on multiple television programs. Apparently he is still, from what I was reading after the press conference, he is still under contract to Ring of Honor through the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he's still under contract come July 24th, he will probably only be on Global Force house shows.
Okay.
And not actually on television.
Yeah, he's. I'm looking at it right now. He is on Ring of Honor's website still with a bio and all that good stuff. So, let's talk a little bit, kind of sidestep from Moose specifically, but you mentioned other talents being used because we saw with Ring of Honor and Chikara kind of using some of the same guys from time to time. And you don't think that that's going to necessarily be a thing, at least with the American versions of, because Global Force has, you know, those affiliations I said with 13 other promotions around the world. So you don't think that we'll see the Briscoe brothers, for example, show up on Global Force Wrestling?
Not if they are signed to a Ring of Honor contract, I don't.
Okay.
Because it would, you know, if you're a company and you've got your own television show, why would you want your star appearing on another competitive programming.
And that's the other thing, too. Do you think, and we kind of talked about this earlier, and you gave me your answer, so I am probably asking a silly question, but would it make more sense, do you think, for some of these companies, Global Force and Ring of Honor, and maybe even to an extent TNA, to combine and team up and use their resources if they really truly want to put WWE out of business, or not put them out of business per se, but to be competitive? Because I see a huge, huge gap between number one and number two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could drive 20 WWE semis through that gap.
Right. I think anytime you would do this, and this is coming based on, you know, having no inside information into the wrestling industry, only from being involved, I guess, being backstage at a AAPW show, and just following the industry for the last 20 years, I think anytime you have a collaborative effort, there's going to be too much politics and too many egos involved.
Yeah.
I think you would get like, oh no, you know, this guy's a champion in my promotion, so we can't drop your guy who's not a champion, or we're going to protect this guy. I think it would make sense to do a, I was going to say it would make sense like back in the day when they had the Super Clash pay-per-view, where if they had all these independent promotions come together for a giant show, but the pay-per-view industry is kind of dying, so I don't even know if it would really get people to watch, but I think what's more important would just be each company has to have its own identity. If you have five companies and they're all interchangeable, then none of them are really going to succeed, because there's nothing drawing you to a specific promotion.
That makes sense. Back to some of the other talent. They've named a couple of women wrestlers, and we'll call them women and not divas. Lady Tapa,
I believe, is the Barbarian's daughter.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm not sure if I said her name right. If she's listening, I apologize if I didn't say it wrong. And Thea Trinidad.
Yes, who was, I really should have looked this up. She was in, I want to say she was Rosita or Sarita in TNA. Both of them were in TNA previously.
Okay. So they have, so basically the bottom line is everyone that they've announced at least has had some sort of wrestling experience, has been on some sort of wrestling program or signed with a company.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think that we'll see some, I don't want to say no names, but some fresh, raw talent that's coming in?
I think this goes back to what we were discussing earlier. When this initial announcement came out, I was very skeptical and very critical of all of the names having previous TNA, ROH, WWE affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
But as we said, it makes sense with your first announcement. You want to get people, what names that people may recognize.
Right.
As you go there. Now, with the following announcements, I would say the next wave will probably be some AAA promotion guys that can work in the States that possibly live here already. And then I think hopefully you'll get more of the independent scene names, guys that work for, hope, you know, Chikara, Absolute Intense, AAW, the guys who are known to the hardcore indie fans but may not be known to the general public. So you get people in with the names that you know, and then you show them the people that they don't yet.
And I think that, because I consider myself, I'm obviously a WWE loyalist. Even back during the Isaac Yankum and H.L. Plopper or H.L. Hopper days and the Goon, I was WWE loyal. So I'll put that out there first and foremost. But, you know, you mentioned AAPW earlier, and that was my first time kind of dealing with an independent wrestling promotion and working there, and then it opened my eyes to much more, including Chikara, which we've been to a couple shows together, a few shows I guess now actually. But do you think that it's going to be, who should they target, who should Global Force target with the audience? Should they work on the indie fans? Should they work on the tweeners? Like I consider myself kind of in between right now. Or again, I think we both agree that trying to slay the WWE dragon is just not going to happen.
Right. I think that's a good question. I hadn't thought about that. I think your first response should be probably your indie fans, because those are the ones who are going to give you the chance more so than a WWE fan. And I say that in contrast. I believe we've had this discussion before. There are wrestling fans, and then there are WWE fans.
Yes.
Wrestling fans will give everything a shot, and if it's good, we'll probably stick with it. WWE fans are like, no, WWE is all there is. If it doesn't have the look, feel of WWE, you know, I believe, you know, going back to when I first tried to introduce you to Chikara, and you looked at it like, what is this? This, mm-hmm. you know, because it was so, and not to use this derogatory, but it was so low rent compared to WWE. You know, there's no pyro, there's no catwalk, there's nothing. It's just,
yeah.
a show in a bar, basically.
Yeah.
And so I think that you're going to have to appeal to indie fans. You're going to have to put on solid wrestling. It's going to, I think the wrestling, actual wrestling itself has to be more prominent than the storytelling, but the storytelling also has to be good. And that's where I think Lucha Underground they have the perfect balance of wrestling to storytelling to keep people interested. And TNA, since moving to Destination America, has stepped up their game to where they actually have somewhat logical stories, and they're letting the wrestlers get those stories over inside the ring. And that's where WWE is more about the story, although in the last year, because they have so many indie guys now coming up to the main roster and are letting them do what they do best, wrestling is becoming better, but they're still more about the soap opera aspect than wrestling. I mean, I believe Seth Rollins said this week in an interview that WWE is a TV show about wrestling,
yes.
not a wrestling show about TV.
Yeah, and you bring up good points, and it's going to be interesting to see, and we'll, like we said, we'll probably learn more this upcoming week, and I certainly hope to learn even more when I talk to Jeff Jarrett. But, you know, what is the schedule going to be like? We're doing these tapings out in July, August, and September, in October. You know, is it going to be an hour-long program? Where is it going to air? So it'll be interesting to see then, as far as storylines go, and how much time they have to put things together. Because TNA, I think, is a two-hour show, isn't it?
Yes.
And then WWE Raw, of course, is three. And I think less is more when it comes to that kind of stuff. So hopefully...
Oh, I agree, too. I think, you know, right now in my opinion, the two best wrestling shows out there are Lucha Underground and NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Both are an hour long. You get enough time to... You have to be concise. There's not a lot of bloat to those shows.
Yeah.
And real quick, speaking of Global Force schedule, one thing that they're doing, which I think is very smart, is leading up to that first taping in July, or they're doing these baseball shows at minor league parks.
Uh-huh.
Which... When TNA first started, I believe they had one show, which wasn't even a TNA show. It was more like I believe it was Burt Prentice's Tennessee promotion that they ran to give Mike Tenay and Don West a chance to kind of work out the kinks in their commentary, and then just to see some of the talent. I believe that's how James Storm and Chris Harris actually got TNA contracts, was they fought each other on that show and impressed management enough to get signed.
Oh, cool.
But Global Force has, I want to say, 6 to 10 shows leading up to the first taping. So I think this will be a chance for them to see which wrestlers are getting reactions, which one, you know, who works well together, maybe work on your storyline before you go into your first taping. And hopefully, you know, the commentators will get a chance to work out their skills before the first taping. And really, instead of going into that first show blind, Global Force will have an idea of what they're doing, and fans will have heard about these shows and will know something to expect from Global Force Wrestling. And so I think that's a very positive step that Global Force is doing that TNA didn't. So hopefully Jeff has learned from starting up TNA what not to do.
And let's talk about two other things. You talked about the commentators, and we talked before I hit the record button, and we both agreed we don't know how to say his name because we don't follow MMA, but they've hired an analyst. I think it's Chal Sonnen or Sonnen.
Sonnen, I believe.
And we're butchering it, and we apologize. Again, if you're watching, don't come after us. But what do you think... there's been speculation and buzz about Jim Ross, of course, who called the New Japan show that happened in Japan back in January. So, obviously, if they got JR, that would be a huge win for them. But what do you think they need to have as far as a commentary team goes?
You know, I am not as big of a fan of Jim Ross as most of the wrestling community, and I think it's because of the last 10 years of his stint in WWE when he became more of a video game soundbite commentator than an actual commentator.
Mm-hmm.
I think if...
Do you think that's because of the machine, though, or is that because of him?
I believe that was what Vince was wanting him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so if JR can go back to how he was prior to that, then I think he can still be a valuable commentator. But at the same time, as we discussed with wrestlers, if you want to set your promotion apart and be something different, I think you need newer commentators.
Gotcha. So,
because if you put JR in there, then you're going to get the preconceived opinion of what you're getting with a Jim Ross commentary. So I don't know who's out there, who's available to
I know a guy. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
yeah, Jerome would be a good one. So I don't know. I'm curious, especially with this Chael, Chael maybe? Chael? I'm looking online trying to find out pronunciations.
We'll just call him Mr. MMA.
Yeah, we'll call him CM Punk's best friend. oh, by the way, you know, Punk. Maybe Punk can do commentary. I'm curious to see who they get to supplement Shonen. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. There's no one. Well, I mean, for my taste, I'm gonna pick, you know, guys like Leonard F. Chikarson and Ultramantis Black. I love their commentary in Chikara. I think they do a good job. Unfortunately, I would not want to see them leave Chikara, but
mm-hmm. Someone
of that style. Yeah, I keep bringing up Lucha Underground. Wish I was getting paid by them for promoting them so much. But Matt, the team of Matt Striker and Vampiro has really impressed me with their skill. So, and I think Josh Matthews has also done a really good job since going over to TNA. I think the talent is probably out there, but as we just mentioned with the machine earlier, it's going to be, will Global Force allow them to actually call the action, or are they going to be screaming in their ear, you know, make sure you promote this, make sure you bring up this, make sure you do. Or, so, I don't know. I we'll see how it goes once the TV taping is actually done and on the air.
Okay. Last question, because we're getting close to an hour here.
Yeah.
Should Jeff Jarrett step in the ring and wrestle for Global Force Wrestling?
No. No. Again, you want your own identity. TNA was... One of the main issues with TNA in its early days was Jeff Jarrett wrestling and being the focus. I think Jeff Jarrett, from a business standpoint, especially since he's starting up a new company, should focus on the behind-the-scenes aspect and not be distracted by wrestling.
And I agree with you. I don't disagree by any means. Does he have an on-camera role, though? Is he the Mr. McMahon of Global Force Wrestling?
No, you want... Be different. We don't need any more heel... Or not even heel. We don't need any more GMs. Have the booking team, the championship committee, you know, that they had back in the days, just let the wrestlers be the focus. My opinion.
Very well said. I will, and I am going to ask him that question. I don't know if he's going to answer it or not, but we'll have to wait and see. Anything, Jad, you want to plug or promote or say before we wind things up?
No, it's good to be back on the podcast. Hopefully, I guess go this time back into GFW. I am hoping to be at that first taping. Hopefully, I can get over to Vegas. If Jeff Jarrett or anyone else from GFW is listening to this, you know, what am I trying to think of? Publicity, credentials. Media credentials. Yes.
You want a free ride in, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't want a free ride, but it should be good. The ability to interact and talk after the taping to get opinions from behind the scenes would be nice.
Sure.
But no, I'm curious. I'm optimistic, as I was with TNA when they first launched. Until I actually see what the promotion is going to be, we will promote it here at My 123 Cents. I will try to be positive about it, and I think more competition and more places for wrestlers to work is a good thing. So I never want to see a company fail, but I just hope Jeff has learned from the mistakes that TNA made in their early days.
Very well said. Alrighty, that is Chad Smart. You can follow him on Twitter at My123Cents or at Chad Smart, and we'll talk in the weeks to come about some other things coming up, including Payback, the WWE's big pay-per-view event for the month of May. But until
next
then,
week, right?
What's that?
It's next week, correct?
Is it next week?
I believe so.
Well, we'll blog about it. We'll put a blog out there at my123cents.com. They do these pay-per-views too damn often, I think. But that's a whole nother show, I guess. Alrighty, Chad. We'll talk to you again soon, bud.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, that is it for this episode, episode 24 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. Again, I want to thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next week. Double J, Jeff Jarrett himself, the founder of both TNA and Global Force Wrestling, will be a part of this show. Assuming everything works out and pans out, it is my hope to have him here for you for episode 25. Again, check us out at my123cents.com, jitterymonkey.com, Stitcher, iTunes, you know where to find us. Google us if you have to. Thanks again for listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.